chapter of Ephesians. There's two chapters left, and there are going to be a lot of practical information in these next two chapters that Paul is sharing with us as believers in Christ. But the question is are we copycats? You know what a copycat is, right? Well, children are mimics, and they learn by watching and hearing specific instructions. Now, we said a couple weeks ago that what's not taught is caught. So sometimes, you know, you have to tell your children to do something, and then they're doing what you do. Of course, we want our children to follow the good examples of their parents, but Paul teaches us, since God is our heavenly Father, we are to model His life. We're to walk like He walks, right? And that's what it says in verse 1. Look at with me, if you will, verses 1 and 2 in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. He says, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, there's a children's game called Follow the Leader. The leader does something, and the children follow along. They mimic these actions. For instance, if the leader raises his right arm, and everybody else is supposed to raise the right arm, let's see if you can do that. All right, I'm going to raise my right arm and see if you can know your left from your right. Somebody, that's pretty good, not too bad. If I were to stand on one leg for a while, you could do that because you're seated, right? If I could do like you're doing and raise both of my feet at the same time, that would be an amazing feat. There are some things that you just can't do following the leader. But in 1999, New York University did some research, and they had some participants that were paired with actors. Now, the actors weren't told, that part of it was kept a secret, so nobody knew that they were paired with an actor. And their assignment was to describe some photographs. So it was a very nonchalant exercise. It was discovered, however, that when the actor would smile or would do something with his feet, jiggle them or whatever, and or scratch their face. We're not supposed to touch our face in this pandemic, so I just did. But, you know, as we look at some of those actions, people who were paired with these actors would follow these actions unconsciously. So if, whatever they would do, smile or wave their hand a certain way, move their feet a certain way, rub their face, they would follow. So you have seen children, obviously, who have followed their parents. Sometimes these examples that are placed before our children are wonderful. They're cute. They're funny to watch. But there are also other examples that are placed in front of our children that are not so funny to see played out by our children, are they? We kind of like, oh, no. What were they thinking? And so we want to understand that imitation is sometimes painful to watch. As we turn our attention to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, we see that Paul challenges readers to mimic God. He is inviting his readers to literally follow what he is doing. Now, I could say I don't like cats, but that would offend a lot of you. But this guy had to do a lot of training with this cat to make him do what he's doing. Whenever he raises his arm, the cat raises his arm. I don't know if all cats do this. I think most cats are just like watching you raise your arms, trying to get it to do something. The cat's like, I'm not doing that. But as he was doing that, so we look at this slide and we understand how important it is for us to imitate our Heavenly Father. We are to be imitators of God, copycats, if you will, of what He's doing. So if you are a child of God, you ought to imitate your Father. God is our Father. This section of scriptures in chapter 5 is going to teach us that God is love. So therefore, we ought to walk in love. And that's what it says in verse 2, isn't it? Because God is love, we ought to be walking in love. As we go on down later in this chapter, we'll see that God is the light. God is light. And in verse 8, it tells us that we're to walk as children of the light. And then later in this chapter, we also know that God is truth. And we ought to be walking in wisdom. And verse 15 through 17 teaches us that we ought to be walking in wisdom, walk carefully, walk not unwise, but in the will of God. And remember that we have to have the right frame of mind to be able to do these things, to accomplish these goals that are set before us in the Scripture, by putting on the mind of Christ. And that exercise alone helps us to be able to imitate God rather than walking in darkness that we had done so much before we were saved. Now, we're going to discover these things in this message today. Number one is that walking in love means doing what God does. And the second thing we'll notice is that love is our example to follow. So let's take a look at verse 1, where it teaches us walking in love means doing what God does, what He does. We are to be imitators of God as dear children. He is set before us as an example that we ought to be following. Now, Paul presents us the excellent example, the Lord. There are still bad examples in our lives that we can follow. And we shouldn't be following those bad examples, right? We should be looking for good, godly examples that we can pattern our life after. We find in chapter 2 of Ephesians how Paul reminded us that we used to walk according to the course of the world in verse 2. And we were the sons of disobedience, so in verse 3, we conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. We had bad examples. We didn't know any better because we didn't know Jesus, and therefore we were walking wrong. We were following the wrong people. And you know, there are still opportunities as believers that we can get hooked up with the wrong people. We can follow the wrong examples. It doesn't take a lot of exercise and searching to find a bad example in our world today. And so we need to follow good, godly examples, don't we? The Lord is our example. God is the one that we are to pattern our life after. So Paul identifies God as the perfect model. Be imitators of God, he says. He is the one to follow. In the New Living Translation, the text reads this way: follow God's example in everything you do. Follow God's example in everything you do. It's not just the bracelet or whatever you have that says, what would Jesus do? It's literally looking at his life, following the examples of Scripture and the examples that even Jesus left in the world for us to follow and pattern our life after. God's goal for us is that we be conformed to his image. Be conformed to his image. Let's look at a couple of verses here. I look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible says this. It says, for whom he foreknew. He's talking about the believer here. God knew you before you were saved. Amen? And it's great that he saw you and he came to, Jesus came to die for you, and he's offered you salvation that you fully received by faith. But he also predestined, knowing before what was going to go through our life, knowing beforehand, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus. We have been predestined to that. That's the goal that God has set before us, to be like him. A few years ago, there was a phenomenon on the basketball court named Michael Jordan. So it's a sad thing that the only thing that the kids know about Michael Jordan now is he's older. He's not as old as I am. He's older. And he could probably still play basketball, but not like to the way that he played when he was younger. My goodness, was he a good, great basketball player. I think the closest thing might be LeBron James, if you're a follower of basketball. Kobe Bryant was an amazing talent in basketball as well, but no one was able to outshine Michael Jordan on the court. So people had a slogan back in the early and late 90s to be like Mike. Remember that? Some of us might remember that. Well, Michael sometimes has not a great example to follow, too, because there was things that he was involved in that weren't what you would want your children to be involved in, right? And everything, every example that we have presented on the earth today, we could have to take some and give some with examples that we follow, right? And even a pastor or a godly person, there are some things that you could say, they're a great person, but there's some things that they do that I really don't agree with, right? You have some of those reservations about people on the earth. We don't want to just be like Mike. We want to be like Jesus. That was what God was teaching us here, that there is a good, godly example that's placed before us that we have been predestined to follow and to be like him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 in the scripture, it says this. Peter goes to say, "You, for this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." We should be following Jesus because he left us an example to follow. That's right there in Scripture teaching us that God has the intention for us to follow him, to be like him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, he writes this in the second letter to the epistle here to the churches that were in the area. He says, "By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." That's talking about heaven, our inheritance that will be laid up for us one day in the earlier verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. But he listened to this, that through these promises, these things that God has given us in his word, you may be partakers of the divine nature, his nature. And I know that one day we're going to be able to have that fully. When we see him face to face, we will be exactly like him. But the goal that God has for us as believers right now is to be like him, to follow those things, to be conformed to the image of his son. He's left us an example that we ought to follow, right? And we're to be partakers of the divine nature. You are a believer. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to be leading your life following his example, doing what is right. Don't follow what Ephesians chapter 2 told us about the following after the course of this world. There's a lot of worldly Christians in our world, and we need godly Christians. We need men and women to stand up and be like Jesus more than be like people of the world. And we need to have that in our DNA as a believer. So we also see in this, and not just in this passage, but as Paul was teaching his epistles, he's writing to these churches, he was recognizing that they needed someone to follow, to lead by example. And that's what we want to do as a pastor. We want to lead by example. It's good to preach messages, you know, to you to do these things, but the pastor is really accountable as he preaches the Word of God to follow the things that he's preaching, right? Don't you think that that's a good thing, that a pastor would not just say, "You do this," but the lead to lead by example? Paul invited his readers, the people that he wrote to, the people that he led to Jesus, to follow him. Look at a couple of passages of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it simply says, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." Right here in the middle of this passage, however, in this fourth chapter, Paul is telling them, in verse 15, he says, "You might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus," or in Christ Jesus, "I have begotten you through the gospel." What is he saying? He's explaining to them that they have many guides, people that tell them, take this in the right way, tell them where to go, right? Tell them how to live. You ought to do that. You ought to do that. We've got a lot of Christians today that tell us what we ought to be doing, and they don't do it. Have you seen that before? where people have actually told you you're living the wrong way, and if you watch their life any time at all, it's like, well, I certainly don't want to follow you. But Paul was telling them, you have a lot of people that tell you the way to go, how to do this, how to lead your life. You have not many fathers, and I, Paul says, I have led you to Jesus. And I am going to tell you that not only how to do it, but you can follow me and you can step with me through life, seeing how I am following Christ. And that was he wanted to be a good role model. Therefore, I urge you, he says, follow me, imitate me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul writes these words. He goes, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So it's important for us to understand that we're not just to follow a person. We're to follow a person who loves and follows his life after Jesus. You got to be careful with who you're following. You know, you can follow the crowd today and get into a lot of trouble. But if we're following a person who loves the Lord and leads his life according to godly principles, you can be confident that where they're going to go is the right direction. And that's what Paul was trying to say. Follow me, imitate me, because I'm imitating Christ. So I'm pretty confident in the message. And so he was a good role model. And of course, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 17, Paul says, brethren, join in following my example. But he also goes on to say, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. So it's not just Paul that he's looking at, but he's also looking around the congregation that he's preaching to, and he says, you know, there's a few people, men and women, that you can follow, because they're godly people, and I trust them to lead you and to guide you. You know, to disciple someone is to train them to follow you because you're following Christ. But we can disciple people to do all kinds of crazy things. You know that there are people in our world that disciple their children to steal? You know that? You know there are people in our world that disciple people to terrorize others? And that's not something we want to follow, is it? We want to have someone who's going to disciple someone, train them, teach them to follow the ways of Jesus in his word through the Holy Spirit's presence. So it's good to have someone here on earth to follow, isn't it? As we look around the congregation, there are a few here that I would trust implicitly with saying, you ought to hang up with them. Hang on with them because they know the Lord and they're leading their life in a godly way. And there are others that we would say, you know, you need to team up with them to follow after God's ways. But we need to be careful to not just follow people. This gets us into all kinds of trouble when we just follow people. I've seen it in churches where people follow a pastor, and if the pastor leaves, then they leave and follow that pastor, right? I'm not going to go out on the limb completely and say that that's not a good thing, because there's good men to follow. But aren't we to have our eyes on Jesus? Aren't we to keep our eyes on Christ? And we need to point people to Christ instead of a man or a person who loves the Lord is going to be a good example to follow, but we need to follow the Lord. Another thing that Paul insisted was that Timothy be an example. He was a young man that he was training to be a pastor. Timothy was a young man in the Lord, and Paul insisted that he said, you be an example to the believer. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 12, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example. So the first part is an important and information for us to see, because Timothy was young. And I remember when I started preaching when I was just 21 or 2 years old. It was a long time ago. Man, was it a long time ago. And I remember there was a church that I had, my wife and I, before we became, you know, hooked into a church that we were pastoring, we would have preaching assignments that I would go and fill a pulpit because they needed a pastor, or they just were needing a pulpit supply. And there was one particular church that I preached at. I looked probably 12 years old. I don't know. I was. It's benefiting me as I get older. I'm 60. I'll be 62, and you know, I'm hoping that I don't look like I'm 62. You know, by the time I get to be 90, I might look 70 or something like that. You know how the benefit of that. I had a friend of mine that I didn't see for a few years after Bible college, and I saw him like 3 or 4 or 5 years after Bible college, and I was like, whoa, that's you. He lost all of his hair. He looked like he was an older guy. But anyway, very young, but we all age differently, don't we? I digress. Paul was telling Timothy as a young man, I preached at this church, and this guy come up to me after the service and says, when I close my eyes, you sound authoritative. When I open my eyes, you look like my grandson. And I don't know if that meant that he couldn't trust me with the Word of God or I just was too young or whatever. But Paul was saying to Timothy, listen, you are young, but you're to be an example to the believer. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are. We're to follow Jesus. And Paul also told him in verse 8, he says, the exercise that you put into your body profits a little bit. You know, some of us like to exercise, like to get to the gym, or some of us only exercise when there's a plate of food in front of us or whatever, you know, running down that ice cream or whatever. But Paul says, godliness profits all things. So bodily exercise is good for a little bit, but godliness is where you want to stick your landing. Make sure that, you know, if you're going to take care of the temple of God, that you put godliness in that temple and you live for Jesus. And he was telling them some things that he ought to be mimicking Christ and follow, having people follow in these areas. Be an example to the believer in word. We find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy, and as he told the church at Ephesus, that we're to speak the truth in love. The truth is God's word. And we need to speak the truth with love, taking the word to the world. In our conduct, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we're to walk in love. And remember, love was that attribute that God says that we could follow that. And if we followed love and if we loved one another, that would be the thing that all men would know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In spirit. Reminded of a high school cheerleader that says, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? And the crowd is supposed to respond the same way. But sometimes when you go to a high school football game and the cheerleader says, we got spirit. How about you? We got spirit. Yes, we do. How about you? And the crowd just sits there. And that's the kind of spirit we should not have, right? If we're going to be filled with the Spirit, Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have some spirit. Be excited about the things of the Lord once in a while, right? It'll take a minute. It'll sink in, yes. It's like Novocaine. In faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith. And some of us are fearful. We don't trust the Lord as much as we should. And we need to understand that God is always for us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And we need to understand that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. He will take care of you. God says that there is no good thing that he withholds for those who love God and are called to him. And we need to understand that we need to just trust him. And last and not least, Paul was told Timothy to be an example in purity. Well, certainly, if you're going to teach the Word of God to live a godly life, you better live a godly life. That's why it's hard to put a bumper sticker on your car, follow me to Airport Boulevard, when you're racing through traffic, you know, causing accidents and all kinds of crazy things, right? It's hard to do that when you're living a life of purity, living a life of godliness. You know, we need to live that life. If we're going to say we're a Christian, we need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Amen? And these following verses in Ephesians 5 are going to teach us a little more about purity, about the things of our life that we need to be paying attention to. Now listen, Christians are different. I know, right? We're all different. We're different than the people of the world. And we need to live differently because we should not be copying the world. We should keep our focus on Jesus and be like him because we are different. We have put off the old man. We're to be putting on the new man so that we can be imitators of God as dear children. Last but not least, we look at this text and we see here that love is the example to follow. In verse 2, Paul says, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us." It'd be difficult to pick out an attribute of God and single it out and say this is the best one. Because God is all. He is everything. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. But God is love. The scripture tells us that God is love too, right? Love, as we understand it, is the attribute of God that we are to imitate. He tells us that we are to love others. We're to love God. Love is the attribute of God that would help us understand God's true heart and understand God's heart because God is love. God, that's why we're to walk in love. Walk in love. Not walk and get out of my way. Not walk and you don't know anything. Walk in love. To take people under our arms and help them through this navigating this difficult life that we live. Loving others would have the greatest impact on our world. If we would love others, if we would just love others as God loved the world, what a different place this world would be, right? Think about it. Love. Love reaching out to a homeless person, giving them something that, you know, they need. Love reaching out to a single parent who's struggling. And it all doesn't have to be money. It could be a word of prayer. It could be a kind word. Love is all kinds of facets, but we need to be loving others. The model we see here is God, right? Walk as, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ has loved us, right? So the model is God himself. We find in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus is your Savior today? He has given his Son for you. He died on the cross for your sin. He has paid the penalty, the price on Calvary for you. He loved you that much. Before you were a loving person, before you were lovely, Jesus died for you because he loved you that much. He wanted to save you. The model also is Christ, as we see here in this second verse. As Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. So Christ loved us, he loved the world, and he gave himself for us. So we see that that is a point of theology, that he was the sacrificial lamb, was he not? Christ loved us that much that he, according to Philippians chapter 2, died obediently, died humbly, that he took on that form of a servant, came to the earth because he was obedient to his Father and he did what God's will wanted him to accomplish. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. On the cross, you've heard the song probably, he could have called 10,000 angels, right? That idea that Christ could have been done with that suffering. I've had enough of this, and I'm going to get off the cross now. I don't want to go through this anymore. But the song goes on, but he died alone for you and me. He died for us because he loved you that much. This model is for us to follow in verse 2. It tells us that we're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. That word as there is a word that connects that that action to a person that we're to do exactly as Christ wanted, as he's doing. We ought to mimic that. And the model is for us to love as Christ loved. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he tells us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you. And we know that if you love one another, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It'd be great to be able to walk down the street and have people say, hey, I think you're a Christian. And you say, how do you know? Because your actions speak so loud that it looks like you are following Christ. Wouldn't that be a great compliment to be paid, that you're living your life in such a way that people can see Jesus in us? Yeah, that'd be great. The character issues of chapter 4 are old and worn out. Paul has gone through to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And we need that kind of instruction, right? We need that kind of instruction as a believer to don't do this, but this is a better choice. This is a better opportunity. My wife is slowly trying to teach me about better choices. When we go to Chick-fil-A, you know, I like the chicken sandwich. There's no better chicken sandwich than them, right? But she's saying, you should have a salad once in a while. And so, you know, I'll take a couple of bites out of her salad once in a while. So, you know, I'm okay. This is why I want to keep you around for a while. Well, I'm trying to get round so I can be around for a while. Anyway, these character flaws of chapter 4 have got to be replaced with the practice of what the new man is, that's flowing from a changed heart and a changed mind and a changed life. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. The hymn writer Francis Havergal wrote the words to I Gave My Life for Thee. Listen to these words. It says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Another verse that says, I suffered much for thee, more than tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I gave my life for you. What hast you given for me? Well, we can give him our love. We can give him our devotion. We can give him our changed life. Love would take on a new meaning because of the death of Christ. He laid down his life for us because he had greater love. And no man had greater love than this. And he laid down his life for his, what? His friends. This love helps elevate our love to the next level so we can literally imitate God's love. I'm just wondering, do you find it hard to love others? Do you find it, I know that there are people in our world that are more difficult to love than others, but do you just dismiss that? Do you just say, you know what, I'm just going to live my life in my bubble. I'm not going to do anything with, you know, but I want to imitate the love of God in my life, and I want to reach out to other people. I want to be someone that has a compassionate heart. I look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 that said when he looked out over the crowd of people that he saw, he was moved with compassion on them because they were like sheep that had no shepherd. They were lost. And we need to see the world that we live in as a world full of people who are lost, who need Jesus. We've said this from the very beginning of this COVID-19 thing, that, you know, we weren't able to meet in our church and all of the problems that we're facing in the world as a spinoff of this problem. It's become like a snowball that started really small at the top of the hill, and now it's this ginormous thing that's doing a lot of damage in our world, isn't it? The snowball has grown exponentially, and we need to understand that the only solution to this world's problems is Jesus. It's the gospel. And that's the only thing that's going to change the heart of people. We need to see the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed for the sins of the world be applied to the lives of all people so that whoever could receive the gospel, whoever would accept the gift would come to that place and be saved. We need to imitate God's love. We're the messenger that we need to share that wonderful message with people. Father, my prayer today is that we would imitate our Father more than the people of our world. People are so quick to jump on a fad, wear an item of clothing, say a catchphrase. We need to be people that would be having our eyes on the Word of God and look at Jesus Christ and how can we portray Him to the world and to the masses? How can we tell others about the love of Jesus? And we need that help today, Lord, to be able to do that. Would you help us to have loving hearts? Would you help us, Lord, to understand that you died for us so that we could share that love that you had for us with the rest of the world? I pray that you would change our hearts. We would help us, Lord, to look at what you've done for us and share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, if you will. Let's sing this closing song. When I survey the wondrous cross, the love of Jesus has been portrayed through this hymn and shown to us in an amazing way. And when we sing this, you're going to see that, you know, it took love to put Jesus on the cross. And it took love for him to sacrifice his life for you. And his love is offered to all who would believe today.